Well, good morning. You can take your seats, please. You know, it's so wonderful to be in God's house. I always look to Sunday because that's the time that I can be in God's presence, you know. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Joe. I don't take lightly when I am invited to preach in another church because I know God's word has to be spoken well. And I don't take it lightly. Like I said, I'm honored, I'm blessed. And I hope that this morning you will be blessed too. And you know, how many of you know that the word of God is a very basic Christian principle? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to go to the university to get a degree to understand God's word. Well, you need to know God's word, but it's so simple. And so if we read the Bible from day to day, it continues to strengthen us and help us a lot in many issues that we find in our lives. So this morning, I want to share with you something that the great apostle Paul wrote and called us. How many of you know that as Christians, we have different titles? People call us believers, servants. People call us the bride, disciples. The Bible refers that to us. How many of you know that? We are referred to as a bride, as a disciple, as a follower, even of people by the way or people on the way. We got different titles. But Paul has given us a title which is so significant that I want to share with you this morning. Can you allow me to share with you that? Good. So before I do that, let us just bow and pray. Father, I just thank you this morning, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing, Lord God. Father, I ask this morning that you will anoint my lips and my mind, Lord God. Father, I pray this morning that you will anoint the hearts and the ears of your people, Lord God. Father, your word is life and your word is truth. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord God, that you will increase and I will decrease, Father. And no flesh will glory this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Can we turn to your Bible, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read from verses 17 to 20. You know, chapter 5, Paul talks about he likes to be in God's presence and we want to be in God's presence, you know, and how God saved us and we walk by faith. But from verse 17, this is where who we are. And I want to read this to you. If everybody is there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Okay, I'm going to read from my Bible, which is the New King James Version. So, praise Jesus, you got that version. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are all new, right, Sethania? Praise God for that. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Thank God we have a ministry, we have a job to do, that means. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We got a ministry, we got a word. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we are pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul calls us ambassadors. And do you know who an ambassador is? An ambassador is an official of his country representing his country in another country. How many of you know that that's what an ambassador is? He is accorded diplomatic immunity or diplomatic status. In other words, when a person is an ambassador to your country, he has privileges that you as a citizen don't have. Let me give you an example. I used to be a police officer for many years. And part of my job was I was in a security branch dealing with ambassadors and ministers. And an ambassador, he can park his vehicle where there is no parking sign. You can't book the ambassador. He has that immunity. He's recognized. He is a man of integrity or a person of integrity, loyalty, and when he speaks, people listen to him. He is wise and is knowledgeable in what he does and in the country he's posted. He knows the country very well. In other words, he reads up, he studies. He is accountable for all his actions and his word. In other words, he can't say what he likes. He says what his minister, prime minister, or president tells him, this is what we say. So he's accountable. And he is required from time to time to leave his country and be posted in that country and live there with his family. In other words, he must be ready to be moved. And he is expected from sometimes to speak more than one language. Now, I speak more than one language because from where I come from Singapore. And we have to speak English, we have to learn Malay, and we have to learn Mandarin. So I don't speak Mandarin, I speak Malay, I speak a little bit of Greek and a little bit of Arabic. So I understand this thing. So he has to know this. And so Paul calls us an ambassador. It is a very high honor for us. You know why? I am an ambassador, represents his country. I represent my King Jesus. And I represent his kingdom. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians 3:20 that our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, I am representing heaven here on earth because I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We all have something to do for Jesus Christ. We have been put on this earth to represent Jesus. And so let me give you just about 8 points what an ambassador is required. So if you and I now understand that we are ambassadors, right? Did I make myself clear? We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Understand that. So if we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, what have we got to do? First, we represent Jesus and his kingdom, right? So in other words, now Jesus can post you wherever he likes to post you. So this is your posting. Hill City Church is your posting. An ambassador cannot tell his government, I don't like that country, don't post me there, I post me to Hawaii because it's more nicer. He goes where his country, the president or his government asks him to go. God put you here, you don't choose to come here, God put you here. That's your embassy. That's your calling here. You don't say to God, I don't like this place because I want a perfect church. My friend, the only time you get a perfect church is you have to die and go to heaven. Amen. On earth, no perfect church because we're all human beings. And so where you are posted is where you should be. And accept it and say, God, thank you. Use me now here. This is where you posted me. Let me be your ambassador. Let me be your useful ambassador where you post me. And that's what an ambassador is all about. The second thing I said, an ambassador have to speak sometimes more than one language because he's got to understand the country or the people he interacts in that country. You and I have been given a second language, and it's called tongues. The devil knows when you speak English, but he don't like when you speak in tongues because he don't know what you're talking. Only God knows what you're talking. An ambassador, when he wants to contact his country, if he uses the normal channel or the telephone or through telex or that, he speaks in a normal language. But if he has something very confidential or highly confidential, he speaks in his own language so that other people who are eavesdropping cannot hear. You and I got a tongue. And when we talk in tongues, the enemy don't know what we're talking. But God knows. So tongue is so important for ambassadors like you and me. Because when we talk in tongues, we drive the enemy up the wall. That's why we have another language. And let us, you know, when you're posted to another country, the ambassador will strive to learn more about that language. In other words, he'll try to excel himself in speaking that language. We should try and excel speaking in tongues. Because that's a language, let me tell you, nowhere or any nation on earth has that language except you and I, Christians. One language that we can speak unisonly together and God understands and hears us. So we have a special. An ambassador is a man of integrity. In other words, he has to be honest. What he speaks should be truthful. People listen to him. You and I must exhibit high level of integrity and honesty. When we want people to know about our country, our kingdom, an ambassador's job is to sell his country to you. In other words, to tell you more about my country. That's an ambassador's job. We as ambassadors of the kingdom of Jesus Christ have to sell and tell people about the goodness of our kingdom, the goodness of our country, how blessed our country is. That's the kingdom of heaven. But we have to have integrity. If we don't have integrity, people don't listen to you. If somebody keeps on lying, would you like to listen to that person? I don't want to waste my time talking to that person. But we all are ambassadors. And so when we speak with integrity. When we speak with honesty. When we act with integrity. So one of the main important things of a man or woman with integrity is this. We don't speak bad about people. We don't speak behind their backs. An integrous person means it's the same person in front here or away from here. In other words, you are the same on Saturday or Sunday. You know, I always encourage my church. I say, when you come to church on Sunday, I hope when you go home, you're still the same on Monday to Saturday. Because we are ambassadors representing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. People must see to us and look at us, and people understand and people know that we are integrous. So we must be have that integrity. And wherever you are posted, like I said earlier, an ambassador can park on a no parking sign. But the ambassador doesn't purposely break the laws of that country. He respects the laws of that country. We respect the laws of this country, and we uphold the laws of Jesus Christ. That's an ambassador's job. Just because I'm given that privilege doesn't mean I can break the law. I don't. We don't do that. People have to understand. You see, the Bible tells that we are a peculiar people. Not because we got funny-looking ears or funny-looking eyes. Or what. That's not the peculiar. The peculiar thing is because when people look at you, people say, I can tell that person is a Christian. Why? He doesn't act the way like that person is acting. He doesn't talk the way that person is talking. Look at him. When he speaks, you know he speaks with integrity. You know he speaks with authority. That's how we are peculiar because people immediately sense that you are Christian. So we, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, don't lower our standards to be like the people. Wrong. We still maintain the standard that Jesus Christ has given us. You be friends with everybody, but you don't lower your standards. That ambassador doesn't do that. The next thing an ambassador is so important is his dressing, his attire. In my life as a police officer in the security branch, I have many, many years been with prime ministers and presidents. I've seen ambassadors come and present their credentials. I've never seen an ambassador come with a torn shirt or torn pants. He comes dressed looking so good. Why? He represents his country. He upholds the flag of his country. When I come to church, I love to dress. If I can dress and go to work looking good, I can look better for Jesus on Sunday. Attire is so important. Let me tell you one thing. The dressing will not get you into heaven. But your dressing will not stumble other people from them getting to know Jesus Christ. That's why I tell my church, all my young members of the church, and I tell them, when I see them walking with jeans, I have no problem with wearing a jeans got full holes. But when you come into the house of Jesus Christ, you're not a beggar. You know, when my time I was growing up, if I wore that pants, they thought I was a beggar. Neighbors will buy me a pants. Today, that pants cost $200 I can't afford to buy. But when I come to Jesus' house, I don't dress up as a beggar. Even though my shirt may be a $5 shirt, but it looks good. And I tell my friend, please, you know, when you do that, you are no more original. Why? How do I mean that? Is your culture tell you to wear broke pants like that? No. So why are you wearing that? You're copying some other person's culture and you want to look cool, man, and good, right? But you don't look cool. I tell them, I said, if you need some cash, see me after the service. I'll buy a pants for you. Your attire is important because we are upholding Jesus Christ. In my whole life as a police officer, I've never seen one ambassador come dressed so poorly. And we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We dress with decorum. We dress with nice. We dress so that we don't cause other people to stumble. How many of you watch the news? When you see the news or you look at ambassadors in the United Nations representing their country, I have never seen one looking with that torn pants standing there. They all wear suits. And that's what we are. When we come into the house of God, we're saying, Lord, I'm representing you, Jesus. I want to look good. Why? Because he's King Jesus. If I can honor my boss, how much more should I honor King Jesus? He's my king. Can you say amen? Amen. He's my king. The next thing, an ambassador, if he has an appointment, he is never late. He is always early. Ambassadors of Jesus Christ sometimes come late to visit Jesus also. You know, I have in my church, I was sharing with Pastor this morning, I said, when I started the church, I said 9 o'clock service, some came, Pastor, 9:30 will be good. So I did it 9:30. They still come yawning. Pastor, can you shift it to 10? I said, 10 and the last, no more. And if you're still coming late, bring your birth certificate. I want to see something. He said, what for? Maybe your birth certificate state you were born late, so that's why you're always late. Why you cannot be on time? If I put 10, you'll still come 10:30. But if I say you, the first person to reach there, get $100, you'll be 2 hours before that, you'll be there. So what motivates you? Money? Oh, King Jesus. So as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we never should be late. I know I hit a raw nerve, everybody looking at me. We never should be late. You know what disrespect is if the ambassador representing his country, visiting the president of that country, and the president of that country is there waiting for him, and he comes late in. I tell you something, immediately his government pulls him out and takes him back and says, you have disgraced my country, I put a new man. Thank God Jesus don't say, I wipe you out, become charcoal standing on the ground. God is so merciful to us. But we got to say, Lord, you know, when you do that, in other words, you're showing somebody. I don't want people to look and be disrespectful. We're not disrespectful. You know, your pastor comes in early. Your worship team comes in early. Your prayer team comes in early. And you come dragging in like that. We must be there on time. I'll ask you this question before I go in. How many of you are really excited to come into church on Sunday? Sure, huh? God's watching, huh? Good. Next Sunday, they'll all be here, Pastor Ali. They're all ambassadors this Sunday. I have just promoted you guys to ambassadors. Hallelujah. Not I have promoted, Paul has promoted us, but I'm just reminding you that Paul told you you're ambassadors. And ambassadors never keep anyone waiting. We're always early. We never tardy. We are men of our word. If we say there, we are there. That's same. When I referring to men, it means woman. Thank you. No excuse. So if you have to do a lot of makeup, get up 1 hour more earlier. But don't come late. You know, I used to tell my church in Kuwait, and I used to tell them when they come in late, I'll tell them after they're all in, I tell the ushers, lock the door. And the ushers say, why, Pastor? Because they came in late, they're going home late today. Nobody's going out on time. Ambassadors hold a very distinguished position because they represent their country. So that position is a very high and distinguished position. No Johnny from the street can just become an ambassador. You have to be selected, chosen, and proven. We have been selected, we have been washed, we have chosen, we've been anointed to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You and I were chosen by Jesus Christ to be his ambassador. And so, we have a distinguished function. And the function for us is the ministry of reconciliation. What is an ambassador's job? An ambassador's job is to bring two countries together. And when countries have differences, the ambassador's job is to get into the midst and reconcile these two countries with their differences, instead of pressing the button and blowing up each country. So an ambassador's job is reconciliation. And God has given us that ministry to reconcile. So we have a function. We are to reconcile. Who? Those people outside who don't know Jesus Christ. That's our job. The ministry of reconciliation, to bring people into the kingdom of God. People don't know who God is, but we are there to tell them. We are to reconcile and bring them together, just as Jesus Christ reconciled us and brought us to the Father. And that's our ministry. And it's a very powerful ministry and a very important ministry. And then he says further, we have been given the word of reconciliation. In other words, we have been told how to speak and bring people together. In other words, we have the ability to speak healing into wounded people or hurting people. And that's an ambassador's job. Aren't you glad God gave you such a responsibility? So you cannot sit down here and tell your pastor the next time, "Pastor, I don't know what God called me to do." That's what God called you to do. You're an ambassador, God called you to do. "Pastor, I don't know my ministry." Simple. You have the ministry of reconciliation. Go out and bring people into the kingdom of God. That's your ministry. That's what God has called us to be. And it's such an important thing, because God has chosen to put that important ministry or function into our hands. How much God values you. Can you imagine that? If I was a boss, if I want to give that kind of authority to a person, I have to understand and know that person very well before I give him that authority to speak on my behalf. That's what an ambassador does. And God has given us that authority. He wants us to speak on his behalf. So we are ambassadors. How much he has entrusted us with that authority. Let us not abuse that authority. Use it for the kingdom of God. Use it to bring glory to God. Use it to bring glory to his name. Because we are ambassadors. Some of you may look at me and say, "Yeah, but you know, they don't pay me the rate of ambassadors pay I get." Ambassadors do get big pay. They get all the privileges and the perks. But you don't get. But let me tell you, your benefit is out of this world. You'll have to go to heaven to collect that benefit. It is out of this world, your benefits. Nobody can give you the benefits that you're going to collect. So you are well taken care of. You know, all my life, being a pastor, I've been a pastor for the last 27 and a half years now. Previous to that, I used to work as a police officer, as an army officer, and then I did a lot of my own business. And when God called me into the ministry, I was doing very well in business. And one of the things that kept me doing my business was money. And so when God said to me, "Give your business away," literally give your business away, "don't sell it, just get back the capital that you invested." And I had to struggle with God, you know. You know how money is not easy, everybody will give, right? And I say, "God, something is wrong with you. Don't you see how much of money I make? And I'm giving so much to the church. But you gave me this job. Now you're telling me to give it away?" And I gave away. And I gave it all away. And people in my church, some people said, "You will regret it, Jeffrey. After 2 years, you'll come back here and you will find that you really need to look for a job." 27 and a half years later, I'm still doing this. Am I a rich man? No. Do I own millions in the bank? No. But do I look starved? Never. God has taken care of me. My superannuation is in God's hand. He provides for me. I live in Cyprus. I lived during the Gulf War in the Middle East when there were planes were bombing Iraq. And I was in Iraq. I never died. God still was my provider. If you know who you serve, money will not hold you back. Hallelujah. And so when God said to me, "You going to be my ambassador to countries that people don't want to go, I'll send you." And I just said, God sent me. Let me tell you, today I stand here before you. I don't earn a fat salary like an ambassador earns, but I'm so happy that I have everything I need. Why? God takes care of His people. The country takes care of the ambassador. God takes care of us. Because I honor Him. And I always notice one thing. God, I am your ambassador. If I do something that will bring disrepute to you, I step down. That's the only way I do. I step down. So remember, you are ambassadors. We have that credential. We have that calling. We have such an important position. As His ambassador, we must be resolute in what we say or do. The Bible tells us in the book of James, we cannot be a double-minded person like a waves flowing or the wind blowing. Ambassadors are not that way. When they say something, they stand on that, that's what we say. They're resolute. We as Christians, we got to be resolute. We cannot be double-minded ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we don't function for Him anymore. So let us learn to be resolute. We cannot be double-minded. One day we're praising Jesus. The next day when we have difficult situations, we forget about Jesus. You know, an ambassador is posted in countries that are dangerous countries. How many of you have saw the movie 13th Hour where the ambassador to Libya was killed? The American ambassador. Maybe you didn't see. I like watching those kind of movies because I used to do things like that and I know that. But he cannot choose and say, oh, that country is dangerous. Don't send me. I don't want to go. He goes. Because he's resolute. Go, you sent me there. I will do what I have to do there. I won't bend. I will do it. Because I have to uphold my government. We have to uphold the word of Jesus Christ. We have to uphold the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We don't be tossed and turned by everything that people say or want us to do. You and I are his mouthpiece. The ambassador is the mouthpiece for his country wherever he's posted. So what he speaks, people listen. What he say, people listen. How he, people look and watch. Exactly what people are doing, looking at us as Christians. You know, if we say one thing and we do another thing, you know. Now, you must understand, this is the last point I want to show you. An ambassador can be removed. In other words, some ambassadors have a term, 3-year term, 4-year term, you serve in the country, your government moves you to a different location. You must understand, you can be moved. You and I, are sojourners, the Bible said. God put you in this church. This is your embassy. This is your calling. Tomorrow, God decides to move you to another country because He wants to use you. You cannot say, God, send the person, not me yet. You know, when God planted me in my church back home, and I said to the Lord, use me wherever you want. And that was my cry. Not in the countries that people want to go. I want to go where people don't want to go. Until today, I'm still waiting for God to use me for one country and my wife fears to go to that country, Afghanistan. I'm waiting when He will call me to Afghanistan. When I came to Australia 12 and a half years ago, I went to see the Australian Army to join and become the chaplain. And the first question I asked the interviewing officer, you have troops in Afghanistan? He said, yes. Then I'll be a chaplain in Afghanistan, not other place. Then he said, what's your age? I told him, my age is, you're too old. He said, go home. I lost out. 2 years later, they sent me a letter and said, you can't join. I said, no, I'm older than what I was before. How can now I go? Something is wrong. When I was there, you said, I'm too old. I'm older still, you call me. And then I went back and told him, sorry, it's wrong. We sent out the wrong letter. But I was so excited. God, maybe this is an opening. But my wife was praying, God. You see, you must be prepared to be moved and stationed where you have to be stationed. And that's what an ambassador thing is. You are transferable. You are not, God didn't put us here to be sitting and grow roots and say, this is mine, I won't move. Let me tell you, we all can be moved. Your pastor tells you, I got another church starting there. You are going there. You're going to run that. No, pastor, I can't go, it's too far. You go. That's your calling. Understand, as an ambassador, I can be moved. As an ambassador, I can be removed. Nothing is permanent. If you can accept those things that I just said, the 8 points, then you know that when you, as an ambassador, you will enjoy doing what you are doing. You see, one of the things I learned in life, and do what you do and enjoy what you're doing. If you don't enjoy, don't do it. If you're doing it for the money, after a time, you're going to get tired and you don't want to do it. You know something, money cannot buy enjoyment or cannot buy happiness. Money can buy enjoyment. But if you don't enjoy and doing happy what you're doing, don't do it. I shared with you earlier, I said I was a police officer for many years. In my younger days, I loved being a policeman because I like outside job. I never liked sitting down behind a desk. You look at me, you can know that I cannot sit behind a desk more than 10 minutes. I must move. I cannot. And so I like those kind of jobs. And I did that for many years. And one of the things that I learned when I was in a job was, they move you wherever the police wants to move you. You can go to any place, whatever job you're doing. And I had to do that. And when I got to know my wife, I was posted into the security detail of the police force. In other words, my job was escorting ministers, ambassadors, and prime ministers, and presidents. And one of the things, I could not talk. In other words, I can't tell my wife what I do because it is confidential. I have to sign the official secret act. And so, you know, when you're dating your wife, your girlfriend will ask you, tell me what you're doing. Tell me what you do. What's your job? You said you're a policeman, but I always see you with a weapon, but you don't tell me. And they'll bug you, you know. And so I have to tell my wife, please, I can't tell you. Not because I don't love you, because I'll shoot you after I tell you. I have to do that. So I don't want to shoot you because I love you. And so I had to learn to keep... Ambassadors must know what confidential things keep confidential. Because we're entrusted with a lot of information. And so I had to tell my wife that, please don't ask me again, dear. But she said, I see you come home with a revolver. I see you come home with a shotgun. I see you bringing home a submachine gun. I said, those weapons I have to carry. But don't ask me again, please. Because there are things that we have to be confidential. There are things that your pastor will tell you. I'm telling you, it's confidential. Yes, pastor, you go out the door. Bah, you announce everything. Because ambassadors, these are the things that we ambassadors have to hold. We have to be understand things. Lastly, an ambassador has to operate from a building, right? It's called an embassy. The embassy of Jesus Christ is the church. How many of you know that when you go to an embassy, part of my job in Kuwait was when the Muslims are converted into Christian and they become Christians, their family automatically send a fatwa out to kill them. The father, the mother, the brother, the sister can shoot and kill them. And the ministry in Kuwait, they call the ministry Al-Kaf, that deals with Islamic teachings, will send out an fatwa to kill them. And so part of my job as the pastor in Kuwait, I used to deal very closely with the U.S. embassy. So when they become Christians, they will leave the family and run and take refuge in the church. The church is an embassy. The church is a place of refuge. When you come to a place of refuge, nothing will harm you or touch you. We got to cover them. We got to protect them. That's my job. And so what I will do is I get involved with the U.S. embassy to speak to the liaison officer and say, look, I've got another two Muslims who became Christians. They can't stay in this country, mate. They're going to die. Right now, they're in the church. And I can't bring them out. If I bring them out on the street, the cop can shoot them also and shoot me. So I will work with the liaison officer and say, tell me what time I can bring them. He said, maybe tomorrow night, 11 o'clock. You take the vehicle, drive straight down here, the gate will be open for you. And that's what I do. And when I put them in the embassy, even the Kuwaiti government has no right to go inside and pull them out because the embassy is sacred ground to America. If you put them in a British embassy, that land becomes British territory. Nobody can go in. The Church of Jesus Christ is the embassy. In other words, when people come here, we don't kick them out, we protect them. We secure them. We tell them you are in safe grounds. The enemy cannot destroy you. The enemy will not touch you because we will protect you. And that's the embassy of Jesus Christ. Why Jesus wants church? He knows the enemy is out there to kill, to steal, and to rob. The church is a healing place. You know, the sad thing today, a lot of us forget, and we think church is a fun place. It should be. But church is a healing place. It's a hospital for broken, sick, hurting people. That's the embassy of Jesus Christ. You and I have been given that privilege. And I am posted in the church, wherever it is. That's my embassy. And I'm so glad this morning to come and talk to you at your embassy to remind ambassadors of Jesus Christ your responsibility. You know, King David said this in Psalm 34:7. He said, "For the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him." In other words, whatever we are in this embassy. You cannot see right now, but there are angels around here protecting us. If you can only open your eyes and say, "Lord, show me into the spiritual realm," you will see angels around us protecting us. God sends his angels to protect us. Why? Because this embassy belongs to Jesus Christ. And he will protect this embassy from anything that the enemy can do. So when you come to church, you are in safe hands. You are in a safe and secure place. In the embassy, when I send people into the American embassy, they don't ask me, "Is he white? Is he blue? Is he green? Is he purple?" Any person comes in, they get refuge. Church of Jesus Christ is the same way. How you are, I don't care. Blue, green, purple, fat, thin, short, tall. You get refuge when you come to Jesus Christ. That's the house of Jesus Christ. That's the embassy. We don't pick and choose who we want to protect. We protect everyone that comes in. And that's it. And that's the embassy. And that's as ambassadors, we've been given that responsibility. How many of you today understand what you are now as ambassadors? We have a great responsibility, but we have a greater God. Amen. The Bible says when he gives us something to do, he will not give us something to do that we cannot handle it. God, when called you, he enables you. When he sends you, he provides for you. God does that for us because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And in his kingdom, you and I are a citizen. You know, when I got my Australian citizenship, it was a big thing. Oh, so excited. But I got to be more excited because I'm a citizen of Jesus Christ, kingdom of heaven. That's the best citizenship to have. And we all have it. We all didn't have to sit a test and answer 24 questions or 48 questions to become citizens of heaven. When you accept Jesus Christ, you are already accepted as a citizen. We didn't have to put in a visa application, "I want to become a citizen." You are already once you accepted Jesus Christ. So aren't you glad that we are people of status? So let us walk, uphold that status that Jesus Christ has given us. You know, the sad thing for me, I always tell my church, is to find a Christian who come to me every morning and said on Sunday, "Pastor, you don't know the hell I'm going through." I've never been to hell, so I don't know. Tell me now. I tell them that. Tell me. I've never been to hell. You know, okay, tell me now. Then they look at me and say, "No, not that way. But the way you sounded like you're dying, going to hell. You're supposed to be a Christian, man. Come on. We are more than conquerors. He that in me is greater than he that is in the world." You go through trouble? Yes, we all go through troubles. But Christians, smile with it. Smile at it. You can't. You are overcomers. We are overcomers. So don't come and tell me on Sunday morning you don't know the hell I'm going through, because I don't know. And I don't want to go to hell because I don't want to follow you there. Because that's not where I'm supposed to be. My citizenship is in heaven, not in hell. That's where. You see, when we don't understand, we allow the enemy to run in circles. But if we know who we are, you know, I used to be in Kuwait and I used to have this family and this lady would always come and tell me, "You don't know what problem I'm having." I said, hello, listen to me, please. I came to preach, not to hear your problem this morning. Later, we'll talk about it. But let me tell you, do you pray at home? Sometimes we do. That's why you're having this problem, first thing. Because when you pray, your house will be surrounded with angels. I always tell them, when the devil comes to my house, I say, no, go to the neighbor. He's the next house you can do. Go to him. Don't come here. You torment the neighbor, don't torment me. Because I sent him off. You go. Jesus sent the demons into the pigs. I go, no pig, you go to the neighbor's house. And the thing is, the neighbor will get into problem. And then they will come and see me. Hello, I don't know what's wrong with me. Now I'll tell you, sit down, about Jesus. No. So when he gets saved, send the devil to the next neighbor. That's the way. Not you moaning about the devil, the devil is laughing. Send him, go to the neighbor, they need you. So when they go through trouble, they will come to you. Why? I see you so cheerful, always go happy. Oh yeah, come sit now. You want to know why? Then I tell you, come, let's talk about it. He gets saved. Now you tell the devil, go to your neighbor's house. Simple. Didn't have to become rocket scientist. See, Christianity is so simple, right? Basic Christian. So simple. It's all from the book. I didn't make this up. All come from the book. Aren't you glad you're champions? I'm so happy to be with champions this morning. I'm so glad to be with ambassadors, men and lady ambassadors. Well, I want to thank you so much for allowing me to share this with you. Pastor, thank you so much for allowing me to. Can I just say a little prayer before this? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.